soon enough, we hope, the pandemic will be history, and museum curators are already preparing for that day. The Smithsonian's National Museum of American History has started collecting artifacts from the past year, including the empty vial that contained the first dose of vaccine administered into the U.S. New York nurse Sandra Lindsay got that shot in December. Her vaccination card, scrubs, and hospital ID badge are now also in the museum's collection. So is Dr. Anthony Fauci's 3D SARS-CoV-2 model that he brought on TV in the early days of the pandemic. Anthea Hartig is director of the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. Welcome. Welcome. Thanks for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Peter.
Yeah, sure. So it was last April when the National Museum of American History put together a rapid response team to start collecting artifacts from this pandemic. How did you know to do that when this thing was only just starting?
Well, we're fortunate in that our relationships with the CDC and the National Institute of Health probably have never been stronger. So we started to track this new virus with them. You know, there are some things in a historian's mind where you know you're living through history. You're kind of in the grist mill of history. Like you can feel it, the gears turning. And we knew this was one of them. We set out to assess and document simultaneously the scientific and medical events, as well as the effects and responses in the areas of business, work, politics, culture, labor, gender, and went from there.
Well, it's a huge pool to choose from, right? I mean, I mentioned the vaccine vial and Dr. Fauci's COVID-19 model.
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to accomplish when you decide what it is you're going to go after to acquire?
The precept that I laid out for you, kind of our guiding philosophy, was to collect in areas where we had strength, but also to try and make sure that we didn't miss any opportunity to work with communities. We created a special email address. People would email us saying, I have a sign that we made in my restaurant saying that we'd be back in 2 weeks. Do you want me to keep it? And so It's a beautiful way to both engage communities who, of course, people are going through so much, but also to try and get at that which is most ephemeral that will help us remember these times next year, 10 years from now, or 50 years from now.
What else do you have that you're proud of, or maybe, you know, that epitomizes this struggle of the past year?
Oh, sure. Which struggle, right? The cascading crises. And we did really start to frame it as the number of pandemics, especially viral and racial, after the killing of George Floyd and on Memorial Day. So we expanded that rapid response ideology. And we collected and documented the Black Lives Matter movement, especially through the lens of Lafayette Square. So we collected together banners and the new street signs that were put up in Black Lives Matter Plaza here in Washington by Mayor Bowser. We collected a full range of protest signs. We had already started to collect the election. So we pivoted, you know, the overused word, but we really did have to pivot that stream of collecting too. And then we tried to make as much sense of it as we could as an aggregate, knowing that we won't be able to make full sense of it, that we will need a bit of time. But nor did we want to hide behind the curtain that sometimes historians do and say, oh, we'll wait 50 years to see if it's historic.
Well, exactly.
Right?
So, you're doing this as the events are
live.
Still unfolding, right? I mean, this is happening as we speak. So what do you do with all that stuff? How do you even start to make sense of it and present it to the public in a way that will honor what happened?
Just before the pandemic hit, we had finished a strategic plan and a new interpretive plan and collecting plan, which sounds like just kind of can be boring plans. But these positioned us in ways to think about the intersectionality of our work. You know, how do different groups and peoples and forces and agencies work to shape the world we're in now? And how do we see the past as not inevitable, but a series of choices that people were making? So if you see it kind of in people's choices that they make every day, it does help you understand then a little bit more on how to collect in the moment, you know, making this history alive and vibrant, and also making sure that people have ways to see themselves reflected in it.
Is there something you don't have that you really want that you're trying to save? And I don't know if you can tell me, I mean, maybe you're in negotiations for something that's important to you.
There are a number of things that, yeah, I probably can't tell you. But what I can tell you is that we're collecting a remarkable banner from a march in San Francisco's Chinatown that says, "Fight the virus, not the people," in English and Chinese and Korean, and Japanese, actually. And in a photograph of, you know, elders and youth holding the banner together in San Francisco's Chinatown. This one is resonating with me really powerfully right now.
Anthea Hardick is director of the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History with a big, big job in front of her. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much, Peter. You take good care.
You too.